Welcome to Fly High Ministries, everybody. Really good to be with you today. I pray that the Lord is blessing you and keeping you no matter where you're at and no matter what you're doing. Today's message is, are you investing in Satan or are you investing in Jesus? The text comes out of Matthew 25:14-30, the parable of the talents. You know, several years ago, Donald Trump said this in an interview. I'll be 36 next year, and I've done everything I can do. Sometimes I think it was a mistake to have raced through it all so fast. What's the next level up? The grass isn't greener. I work and I don't worry. How can you top that? I protect myself as well as anybody can. I prepare for things, but ultimately we all end up going. I don't believe in reincarnation, heaven or hell, but we go someplace. Do you know? I cannot for the life of me figure out where. This is a picture of a man who was so busy possessing the world, he is making no preparations for the next. Before we point a finger, we ought to realize it's easy for us to do the same thing. The fact is, most people have absolutely no idea what life is all about. There are three things you can do with your life. You can waste it, you can spend it, or you can invest it. You can waste it. There are plenty of things to waste it on. You can spend it on your career, on your hobby, on acquiring certain possessions, or you can invest it. Jesus taught that the greatest use of your life is to invest it in that which outlasts it. He told a story called the Parable of the Talents. In it, he gives seven principles for investing your life. Everything I have belongs to God. God has given me some talents. Number three, God expects me to use those talents. Someday he's going to ask me, what did you do with what you were given? Number four, it is wrong to bury what God has given me. Number five, fear keeps me from using my talents. When you cut through all the excuses, it's fear that keeps you from using the talents. Number six, if I don't use it, I'll lose it. And number seven, if I use it wisely, I'll be rewarded. You know, the study of these seven principles will make a major difference in your life. You know, maybe with this down economy and everything that's going on in Japan right now, and you're probably worrying about what to invest in. Maybe you're worried about your savings in the bank. Maybe you're worried about our national world currency, our reserve currency, and will the dollar be the top dollar anymore? So you wonder what to do with your money. Maybe you wanted to invest it in gold or silver. Maybe you want to invest in real estate or maybe penny stocks. You know, maybe you're worried about where to invest your money. You know, but be assured this, where you put your time, your money, and your investments do matter. They do matter. You know, ownership, we need to realize number one principle is ownership, that everything I have does belong to God. God made it all. You really own nothing. You didn't come into this world with anything, and you're not going to take anything out of this world. What you have, you simply get to use for 60, 70, 80, or 90 years. It's God's. You just get to use it. God made man to manage his resources. The Bible says, again, it will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted his property to them. Matthew 25:14. Whose property was it? The servants or the master's? Well, of course, it was the master's. God has entrusted some things to you, but God owns everything. Number two, allocation. God has given me some talents. To one, he gave five talents of money, to another two talents, and to another one talent, each according to his ability. Matthew 25:15. The word talent that we use today actually comes from this story. Back in the day, talent simply means an amount of money, about $1,000. The master gives $5,000 to one guy, $2,000 to another, and $1,000 to another. He says, I want you to go and invest it. You have some talents. Talents are abilities, resources, skills, or opportunities. All of the things that God has given, including spiritual gifts. Anything that God has entrusted you with, your children, your job, can be considered a talent. Notice the amount differs, but everybody gets something. There is no such thing as a no talented person. Everybody has at least one. You do have a talent, the Bible says. We have different gifts according to the grace given us, Romans 12:6. You're unique. God has given you gifts, talents, skills, abilities, experiences, personality traits, and temperaments, all to make you you. You're unique. There's nobody else like you in the world. He made you for a purpose. You know, with those talents comes accountability, and God expects me to use them. In Matthew 25:19, it says, after a long time, the master of the servants came back and settled accounts with them. The master has made an investment and wants a return. God has made an investment in your life and he wants a return. The Bible says one day God is going to do an account, an audit of your life. Are you ready for that? God is going to ask you, what did you do with what I gave you? You didn't choose to be born in America and enjoy the freedom you have here. What did you do with it? The greater the privilege and the greater is the responsibility. You know, we as an American people have a responsibility. We have the talents. We have been blessed in America, and God requires for you to use those talents. Utilization, it's wrong to bury what God has gave you. He wants you to use your talents. He wants you to use your talents. Look what the Bible says. The Bible says the first man took his money and he doubled it. It was 100% return. This man was a wise investor. The second guy took his $2,000 and he doubled it. The point of the story is the third guy. The third guy just buries it. He does nothing. But the man who had received one talent went off, dug a hole in the ground, and hid his master's money, Matthew 25:18. He's cautious and conservative. He says, I'm going to play it safe. He sat on the talent. You know, the reason why a lot of you guys are not being blessed is because you are sitting on your talents. You know, you maybe have gotten one talent and you've seen the guy that has five talents, but the truth of the matter is, you've been cautious, you've been conservative, you've been afraid. What was the master's reaction to the first talent? He replied, you wicked, lazy servant, Matthew 25:16. His master was ticked. He was more than a little upset. At least you could have put it in the bank. You haven't even tried, he said. You hid it. This is a sin of inactivity, the sin of passivity. You know, God has given each and every one of you a gift. God has given each and every one of you a talent, but the truth of the matter is you're too worried about looking at everybody else. The truth of the matter is, you're looking at the guy with five talents. But notice, the guy with five talents gave everything he got. He gave all of his money. He gave it all up. And he got doubled. The point is, we cannot please God by playing it safe. We must take risk in life. If we don't, we are wicked and lazy. Why does God want me to take risk? Because whatsoever is not of faith is sin. Romans 14:23. And the Bible also says, without faith it is impossible to please God. Hebrews 11:6. If everything is safe, you don't need any faith. If everything is safe, you don't need any faith. Doing nothing is excusable. God would rather have you try to serve Him and totally blow it than to do nothing. I'd rather attempt to do something great and fail than attempt to do nothing and succeed. God wants you to try. God wants you to go out and witness to people. God wants you to go out and try something new. Even though you might fail, even though it don't seem like you're going to make it, but God says, yes, you're going to make it. I've said that I want the church to put four words on my tombstone. At least I tried. At least I tried. I may not reach all the goals I believe God has given me for my life, but it really doesn't matter. What matters is the effort. Trying. Trying to make your life count. Trying to make an impact with your life. Trying to do something significant that is going to outlast you. It's not whether you reach it or not. It's the effort that counts. Doing nothing is excusable. Which person? The person with five talents, the person with two talents, or the person with one talent was the most likely person to sit on it, to do nothing? It was the guy with the one talent. Why? Because this is what typically goes through our minds. If I'm just a one-talented person, and therefore not a superstar, I'm not going to do anything. Come on, somebody. A lot of you think because you're from a small town that you can't make a difference. A lot of you people think because you don't have no money in the bank that you can't make a difference. A lot of you people today think because your life ain't working out the way you want it to work it out that you can't make a difference. I'll let the pros do it, you might say. Since I don't have the 10 talents, I'm going to do nothing. A lot of you people say, well, I can't do this because Joe Smo is doing it. But you say, since I have only one talent, I'll just bury it. I'm not going to make any attempts in ministry at all with my life. I see dog Christians all the time. The fizz, the sparkling has gone out of their life. The Christian life is not a relationship anymore. It's a routine. There is no joy like it used to be. Their spiritual life has gone flat. Why? The reason why is because many devil preachers out there. We have so many devil preachers out there. They're just doing absolutely nothing. They're doing absolutely nothing. And when people come out of their church, their eyes are spinning. They're in a trance because they have been subject to demonic control. They are sitting on the sidelines, not in the game, spectating and not participating. They have buried their talents. You get stretched when you're in the game, not sitting on the sidelines saying, go team. God gives the principle of utilization. He expects me to use what He's given me. If I don't, it's not just a casual matter. It's a flat out wrong to waste my life. I shudder to think of some of the excuses given while standing before the pure Savior. Excuses why no attempt was made to get involved having other people and serving others. Those excuses will seem pretty puny at that point. May I, as your pastor and friend, urge you to seriously consider preparing for the event whether you like it or not. It's inevitable. Number five. The biggest thing that keeps us from using our talent is fear. Fear keeps us from developing our talent. Then you got to ask the question, why do we play it safe? It's really fear, and that's Satan's favorite tactic. Satan has three kinds of fear: self-doubt, self-pity, and self-consciousness. Anytime you're sitting on your talents, it's usually because of one of those three things. Self-doubt says, I could never do that. I'm not qualified. It's the fear of failure. Do you remember when you were in school and the teacher asked a question you knew the answer to, but you thought there might be a chance you'd be wrong, so you didn't raise your hand? Do I want to put my life and reputation on the line? You thought if I say the wrong answer, I'm going to look like a real dork. God says that's fine for kids, but it doesn't cut it as adults. Don't let your fear get in the way. I was afraid and went out and hid your talent, Matthew 25:25 says. You know, another thing is self-pity. I've failed in the past so many times. I made an attempt at one time to get involved for God, to get involved in the ministry and service, but I got burned out. So, I'm never going to try again. That's like saying I ate at the restaurant once and it was bad food, so I decide I'm never in a restaurant again. It doesn't make sense. Self-pity. You fall off the horse, you must keep trying to get on. Keep trying to get on the horse. There are two ways to respond to failure. As exemplified by Judas and Peter, both committed the same sin. They denied Christ. Judas let it get to him. He got it on a guilt trip, became depressed, and he gave up. He committed suicide because he blew it. Peter, on the other hand, wept bitterly, told God he was sorry, and he picked himself up. 50 days later, this same man, who three times denied Jesus Christ, was chosen to birth the church. In fact, 3,000 people accepted Christ in one day while Peter preached. Just 50 days after his greatest failure in life, Peter experienced his greatest success. It does not matter so much where you've been. What matters is what direction your feet are headed when you land. When you are headed right down is what counts. Where you are headed right now is what counts. Not all the garbage in the past. It's where do you want to go, not where you've been. Will the rest of my life be the rest, be the best of my life? Self-consciousness. What will other people think? If I give my life completely to God, will I become a fanatic? The Bible says the fear of man brings a snare, Proverbs 29:25. It's a trap. We excuse ourselves from ministry by pointing to people who are more talented and saying, let them do it. God, I have a phrase when it comes to ministry. If it's worth doing, it's worth doing poorly. I hate the phrase. If it's worth doing, it's worth doing well. That cuts out about 95% of us. That means that the only people who should be doing anything are the people who are top in their field. If you can't do it well, don't do it. That's stupid. The same is true of ministry. If it's worth doing, it's worth doing poorly. What counts is the effort. The truth of the matter is the effort in your life. I know a lot of people today are having a hard time believing in Jesus Christ anymore because of the devil churches out there. I know a lot of people have just stopped believing in Jesus because of the devil ministries and the devil churches and the devil folks out there, but I'm here to tell you, don't give up on Jesus because he's still real. And I know there's a lot of evil folks out there that come to you and they act real nice. But I tell you something, those of you that don't speak truth, you know, we should not in any way, shape, or form, act like that. Fear causes me to make excuses for doing nothing. So many people are afraid and they just give up on life. Then a man who had received one talent came and said, Master, I knew you were a hard man, harvesting where you have not sown and gathered where you have not scattered. Matthew 24:25. This guy prepared a speech. He says, the reason why I didn't make any profit on my money is your fault. He blames the master and he passes the buck. You know, the truth of the matter is, a lot of people, the reason why they don't want to do anything because they're blaming everybody. You've been raised. You blame your childhood. You're always blaming this person. It's always somebody else's fault. You know, the wisest investment you will ever make is not in Payne Webber, Merrill Lynch, Wall Street, penny stocks, or even real estate. The wisest investment you will ever make is when you, yes, it's when you say, God, I want to make the rest of my life count for eternity. I give it to you, whatever it is. I'm tired of playing Mickey Mouse. I'm going to get in the game. I'm tired of sitting on the sidelines. I'm not going to be a spectator. Only one life will soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. Yes, only one life will soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. Yes, how do I start investing my life in Jesus Christ? The truth of the matter is, a lot of you folks, Dave, you've been investing in Satan. You've been investing your life in Satan, and you haven't been investing in Jesus. Yes, you've been investing in the media, you've been investing in your job, you've been investing in all the worldly pleasures, and it's not taking you anywhere. Saddleback is an example of how God takes very ordinary people, does extraordinary things through them. Yes, that's what Saddleback is. So where do I start investing my life? First, I find a church family. I get involved and join a church family. Yes, get involved. Second, start growing, maturing, and developing. Learn the basic habits of your Christian life. I don't think of a greater thing than to stand before Jesus Christ one day and have Him say, you don't have a whole lot to show for this first part of your life, but you did get serious with me. You made a commitment to make the rest of your life count for the things that matter. The things that are going to outlast you. You did a good job. You weren't perfect. You had a lot of faults and sins and bloopers, but you made the effort. Well done. Though good and faithful servant, at that point, you will say it was worth it. And another thing, another way to start investing your life is prayer. I challenge you to make a specific commitment to prayer. If you have not specifically joined a church family, I suggest that you do that. So my question to you, are you investing in Satan or are you investing in Jesus today? I hope today that you will invest in Jesus. Invest in Jesus. With the economy going down, gas prices high, we have another Chernobyl in Japan. We got radiation coming on the west side. Come on, somebody. It seems like everything that you've worked for, all your investments that you've worked for is coming to an end. But I'm here to tell you today, if you invest in Jesus, it's not too late. Invest in the eternal things. Heavenly Father, thank you that you have given us talents. You've given us abilities and gifts and skills and opportunities. You've given us such a great privilege, even the privilege of living in such a beautiful country as America. We know with all these privileges, there come responsibilities. Help us make our lives count. Help us tell the truth. Help us stand up against evil. Evil that's in our government. Evil that's in our church. Evil that's in our nation. Help us not be like others who are living simply for today, but help us live for eternity. And I pray this in Jesus' name.